You're too kind to us, said Eli one day. Why don't you get annoyed with us for not being brilliant every moment of every practice? If you keep coddling us like this, we'll think you like us. Some of the others laughed into their microphones. Ender recognized the irony, of course, and answered with a long silence. When he finally spoke, he ignored Eli's complaint. Again, he said, and this time without self-pity. They did it again, and did it right. But as their trust in Ender as a commander grew, their friendship, remembered from the battle school days, gradually disappeared. It was to each other that they became close. It was with each other that they exchanged confidences. Ender was their teacher and commander, as distant from them as Mazer was from him, and as demanding. They fought all the better for it, and Ender was not distracted from his work. At least not while he was awake. As he drifted off to sleep each night, it was with thoughts of the simulator playing through his mind. But in the night he thought of other things. Often he remembered the corpse of the giant decaying steadily. He did not remember it, though, in the pixels of the picture on his desk. Instead, it was real, the faint odor of death still lingering near it. Things were changed in his dreams. The little village that had grown up between the giant's ribs was composed of buggers now, and they saluted him gravely, like gladiators greeting Caesar before they died for his entertainment. He did not hate the buggers in his dream, and even though he knew that they had hidden their queen from him, he did not try to search for her. He always left the giant's body quickly, and when he got to the playground, the children were always there, wolven and mocking. They wore faces that he knew, sometimes Peter and sometimes Bonzo, sometimes Stilson and Bernard. Just as often, though, the savage creatures were Eli and Shen, Dink and Petra. Sometimes one of them would be Valentine, and in his dream, he also shoved her under the water and waited for her to drown. She writhed in his hands, fought to come up, but at last was still. He dragged her out of the lake and onto the raft, where she lay with her face in the rictus of death. He screamed and wept over her, crying again and again that it was a game he was only playing. Then Mazer Rackham shook him awake. "You were calling out in your sleep," he said. "Sorry," Ender said. "Never mind. It's time for another battle." Steadily, the pace increased. There were usually two battles a day now, and Ender held practices to a minimum. He would use the time while the others rested to pore over the replays of past games, trying to spot his own weaknesses, trying to guess what would happen next. Sometimes he was fully prepared for the enemy's innovations, sometimes he was not. "I think you're cheating," Ender told Mazer one day.
"Oh?"
"You can observe my practice sessions. You can see what I'm working on. You seem to be ready for everything I do."
"Most of what you see is computer simulations," Mazer said. "The computer is programmed to respond to your innovations only after you use them once in battle."
"Then the computer is cheating."
"You need to get more sleep, Ender."
But he could not sleep. He lay awake longer and longer each night, and his sleep was less restful. He woke too often in the night. Whether he was waking up to think more about the game or to escape from his dreams, he wasn't sure. It was as if someone rode him in his sleep, forcing him to wander through his worst memories, to live in them again as if they were real. Nights were so real that days began to seem dreamlike to him. He began to worry that he would not think clearly enough, that he would be too tired when he played. Always, when the game began, the intensity of it awoke him. But if his mental abilities began to slip, he wondered, would he notice it? And he seemed to be slipping. He never had a battle anymore in which he did not lose at least a few fighters. Several times the enemy was able to trick him into exposing more weakness than he meant to. Other times the enemy was able to wear him down by attrition until his victory was as much a matter of luck as strategy. Mazer would go over the game with a look of contempt on his face. "Look at this," he would say. "You didn't have to do this." And Ender would return to practice with his leaders, trying to keep up their morale, but sometimes letting slip his disappointment with their weaknesses, the fact that they made mistakes.
"Sometimes we make mistakes," Petra whispered to him once. It was a plea for help. And sometimes we don't, Ender answered her. If she got help, it would not be from him. He would teach. Let her find her friends among the others. Then came a battle that nearly ended in disaster. Petra led her force too far. They were exposed, and she discovered it in a moment when Ender wasn't with her. In only a few moments, she had lost all but two of her ships. Ender found her then, ordered her to move them in a certain direction. She didn't answer. There was no movement, and in a moment, those two fighters, too, would be lost. Ender knew at once that he had pushed her too hard. Because of her brilliance, he had called on her to play far more often and under much more demanding circumstances than all but a few of the others. But he had no time now to worry about Petra or to feel guilty about what he had done to her. He called on Crazy Tom to command the two remaining fighters, then went on, trying to salvage the battle. Petra had occupied a key position, and now all of Ender's strategy came apart. If the enemy had not been too eager and clumsy in exploiting their advantage, Ender would have lost. But Shen was able to catch a group of the enemy in too tight a formation and took them out with a single chain reaction. Crazy Tom brought his two surviving fighters in through the gap and caused havoc with the enemy, and though his ships and Shen's as well were finally destroyed, Fly Molo was able to mop up and complete the victory. At the end of the battle, he could hear Petra crying out, trying to get a microphone. Tell him I'm sorry. I was just so tired. I couldn't think. That was all. Tell Ender I'm sorry. She was not there for the next few practices, and when she did come back, she was not as quick as she had been, not as daring. Much of what had made her a good commander was lost. Ender couldn't use her anymore, except in routine, closely supervised assignments. She was no fool. She knew what had happened. But she also knew that Ender had no other choice, and told him so. The fact remained that she had broken, and she was far from being the weakest of his squad leaders. It was a warning. He could not press his commanders more than they could bear. Now, instead of using his leaders whenever he needed their skills, he had to keep in mind how often they had fought. He had to spell them off, which meant that sometimes he went into battle with commanders he trusted a little less. As he eased the pressure on them, he increased the pressure on himself. Late one night, he woke up in pain. There was blood on his pillow, the taste of blood in his mouth. His fingers were throbbing. He saw that in his sleep, he had been gnawing on his own fist. The blood was still flowing smoothly. Mazer, he called. Rackham woke up and called at once for a doctor. As the doctor treated the wound, Mazer said, I don't care how much you eat, Ender. Self-cannibalism won't get you out of this school. I was asleep, Ender said. I don't want to get out of command school. Good. The others, the ones who didn't make it, what are you talking about? Before me. Your other students who didn't make it through the training, what happened to them? They didn't make it, that's all. We don't punish the ones who fail. They just don't go on. Like Bonzo? Bonzo. He went home. Not like Bonzo. What then? What happened to them? When they failed? Why does it matter, Ender? Ender didn't answer. None of them failed at this point in their course, Ender. You made a mistake with Petra. She'll recover. But Petra is Petra, and you are you. Part of what I am is her. Is what she made me. You won't fail, Ender. Not this early in the course. You've had some tight ones, but you've always won. You don't know what your limits are yet. But if you've reached them already, you're a good deal feebler than I thought. Do they die? Who? The ones who fail? No, they don't die. Good heavens, boy, you're playing games. I think that Bonzo died. I dreamed about it last night. I remembered the way he looked after I jammed his face with my head. I think I must have pushed his nose back into his brain. The blood was coming out of his eyes. I think he was dead right then. It was just a dream. Mazer, I don't want to keep dreaming these things. I'm afraid to sleep. I keep thinking of things that I don't want to remember. My whole life keeps playing out as if I were a recorder and someone else wanted to watch the most terrible parts of my life. We can't drug you if that's what you're hoping for. I'm sorry if you have bad dreams. Should we leave the light on at night?
Don't make fun of me, Ender said. I'm afraid I'm going crazy.